certainly good to see everybody here today. And I want to ditto what all Sandy had said about this VBS week. I hope it's encouragement to us to see all the little minds and the bright faces just light up whenever the good news is shared with them. To see, it's just so exciting and joyful for us. So if you were here, you were able to take part of that. It was a really good week. And what I want to do is I want to share with you a video that we had done that just a small portion of what we experienced this week. So I've got a quick video for you to share with you. Smiling and celebrating, just laughing and having fun. And yeah, Miss Carrie, she had her hands full, but she handled it very well. As we all, you know, pitched in and did what we needed to do. So hope we're encouraged for next year to get excited beforehand and just really see what God can do through small minds and small hearts, just the same as He does with ours. And that's great. Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We'll be looking at a significant portion of Scripture that really speaks for itself. So I kind of wonder, do I really even want a preacher to just have you read it on your own? But I want to say, I'll start off saying that I feel a little guilty. Feel a little guilty about this morning's sermon, in that this is what I prepared for the commencement speech on for VBS. And I had plans to preach something else, so I had to prepare the Friday night message, and then prepare for today. And so I said, well, I'll just do it first because I have to preach it first. It's a shorter message and won't have to go as deep and in detail. And am I not on at all?
Okay, ooh, there it is. Give him a chance to turn that down. We're hot. All right. So I wanted to do it first.
And I read the passage. I studied the passage. I prayed over the passage as I normally do and picked out the few things that I thought kids would grasp the most and really put that together. And then I moved on to the book of Jude. That's where I really wanted us to go. We wanted to start a look at the book of Jude. And Lord willing, next week we're going to start looking at the book of Jude together. But as I tried to get into the book of Jude, I just kept coming back to this. And I would as I would read over it, I'm thinking, did I miss something, God? Did I do something wrong with your word? And that's always my biggest fear. Am I being faithful to your word? So I go back to it, I read it again, and as I'm reading it, I'm seeing your faces. As I'm reading this, I'm hearing your stories. As I pray through this, I'm praying for you and your situations. And I go back to Jude and I try again, but I keep coming back to this. And just as your dumb old preacher is, find it, click. Okay, God, I'm supposed to preach this Sunday too, right? So if you were here on Friday, you already got some kind of a snapshot of what we're going to talk about here today. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34. And it's going to be a little more in depth. But it was a good time for me to really just dig deep into the Word of God and to apply this to each one of your situations as best I can. So today's message will be different, obviously, than what it was for the kids. But to know that it come from a sincere heart of knowing that we all struggle in ways and there's issues that we have in our life. And what I want to do is just hope give you some encouragement. And I know that we had done this not too long ago, but we can never have too much encouragement. And this is what the Word of God does. It gives us a hope. It gives us a strength as we go through this together. So as if you're ready, and let me just say, if you don't have your Bibles, even if you do have your Bibles, just let these words wash over you. They're plain. They're simple. But they're so powerful. Just let these words wash over you as we read Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, for what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into an oven, will he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Oh, gracious God, we bow before you now, trusting that your word is true, is full of your mercy and grace, that your word speaks so clearly. And as we venture through your word in each passage, Lord, as we look to apply these things to our life. We pray that you just open our minds and our hearts to rightly see your word and how much you love us. How much you care for us and protect us and provide in all of our needs. And I pray, Lord, that you hide me behind your cross, that I don't mess up your word, that your word be true, sufficient, and capable to bring us a healing and a hope. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we see here that Jesus is speaking of anxiety. And it's really a common word today. We hear a lot about mental health and anxieties and things. And especially if you work in a field where you work with children, like a school teacher or a medical professional, you hear these words and you have these issues. And what do you do with it? What is the answer to having anxiety in our world today? Some of the words that are similar to anxieties is worry and fear and apprehension. The results of an anxious child will be that they're clingy. They want to hold on to the person that they trust the most. They won't let go. They have emotional outbursts. They will either cry or they'll scream or in some way yell at someone or another. There's also this unwilling to be a part of the group that they're intimidated by. They want to isolate themselves and move on from that. Now, adults, they kind of hide it a little better, a little more discreet with their anxiety. So some of the signs for adults that are being anxious are excessive worry. And a lot of times what you'll see is that they will be worrying about something that really masks the things that they're really worried about. You'll hear someone worried about the birds in that nest, and they're excessively worrying about those birds in that nest when really and truly they're worried about something else. But this excessive worry, there's a restlessness that is just not settled in any way. There's a lack of concentration and a racing heart and a shortness of breath, which leads to panic attacks. And I've always, you know, we've heard about these things for a while, and I'll be transparent with you just a little bit. I had a panic attack one time in my life, and it was never happened again, and it was a lesson for me. Dealing with people, counseling as a pastor, I could not relate with them. So I think it was a God thing, for one, but the second part of it was that it was just a really, really trying and busy week. And I struggled. Here it was Thursday, and I had no idea what I was going to preach. And everything about life was just hammering down on me. And it was coming from every direction. And I began, what am I going to do? And I'm praying. I'm flipping through the Bible. I'm even going back through past sermons. God, just give me something to preach. Sunday's coming. I can't stop the calendar, you know. What am I? Can't ask for an extension for Sunday. And I struggled and I struggled and I worked myself up to where I was just really in a tizzy about life in general. And I just stopped and I hit my knees. I bowed at the altar and I said, God, I don't know. And then a name come to mind. I'm like, I'll give him a call, and if he will come and preach for me, that'd be great. I was at church on Sunday. I was sitting in a pew. Everything was fine. I just could not get a message. And I remember my heart racing. I was just out of control. But as soon as he answered the phone, which no more time, he doesn't answer his phone. He has to call you back. But he answered the phone that day, and there was just a peace that come over me when he said, I'll be glad to help you out. And he come and preached for me that day. And so we see that there's cures, there's hope, but these things happen to all of us. We all worry. We all find ourselves in situations that we're worrying about things that we want in a certain way, and then we also worry about things that we can't control. And these worries can mound up and really begin to get into our life more than we want it to. So as I was preparing this for Sunday, I just did a quick Google search. And I just literally typed in things people worry about. And the top returns on that particular search was health, being late,
Not my wife. She's not listening. She don't worry about that. No, she does. We do okay. Relationships, work, finances, loved ones are just the top ones that return. And we can all see why we would worry about these things. We want the best for others. We want the best for ourselves. We see things coming in the future that we're really not sure how we're going to control them or how what impact it's going to have, and we worry about it. We all worry, as I said, either about things that we do or things that we can't change. So anxiety is coming, but we must control it. In verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So as I read this, I look at the first line, and about the only thing I can pull from this verse is, as he explains it even further, so I'll wait to explain it even further, but he really just gives us the answer in the very first verse here, in verse 25, actually. But the thing that you see here says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. It's not a suggestion. If you look at the construct, even in the Greek, you can see clearly that this is a command. Do not be anxious about your life. Jesus is saying that this is something that is harmful. This is not healthy for you, no matter where you're at in your life. Do not be anxious. It's not a suggestion. He's wanting us to be focused on this fact that He does not want this for us. And this is God in human flesh speaking to us, saying, do not do this. He moves on in verse 26 to explain it even further. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And it's like a child. We all were there at some point in our life that we are going outside or in our room and we're playing, and then all of a sudden you hear the words, either mom or dad will holler out, supper time, and you go running. And when you left the kitchen, there was nothing going on, but yet when you come back to the kitchen, when they holler supper time, the table's full of spread of food, right? And so you just think that maybe mom, dad just snapped her finger, and there it was, right? You have no idea what all goes into it. And this is what God is saying to us through Jesus Christ. God is telling us in these words, just like the birds. They wake up in their nest. They fly down to the ground, they get their worms, they get their seeds, and they go back to the nest. And it's like the child coming in and their supper. Or what about the child that pulls that drawer out, son? The child that pulls that drawer out, and there's all these clothes that are clean. And every time you open that drawer, there's clean clothes. Somebody washes those clothes and dries those clothes, folds them and puts them away. So we see this as God, as being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see God. He actually does His own laundry. I'm just kidding. I owed you that. But God, as a believer, we are adopted into His family. As a child of God, He's fixing those meals and He's washing those clothes for us. Does this make sense to you? Look how great our God, and look what hands we are smothered in by the Holy Spirit wrapping their arms around me. He is actually just clothing us with this assurance and this confidence. So if as a child our parents took care of us, now we got a heavenly Father who's taking care of us, what should we worry about? So He gives us some things that we commonly worry about, right? Food, clothing. He moves on here and He says, after... He says that talking about the birds who doesn't sow any seeds, nor reap, nor gather into barns. They don't do any of that. But yet your heavenly Father feeds them. His next words are you not more value than they? And we just talked about this last week. And as I've already explained, I didn't plan on going back there. I had something else in mind. But last week we talked about this very verse. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. When we're talking about the perfectness of Christ being this substitute for us. that God required a perfect sacrifice in order for the sacrificial law. You didn't bring your lame calf to be sacrificed. You brought your best calf because God deserves the best. And in the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice on our part is that we went to this verse and listened to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over every living thing that moves on earth." God gave man dominion. So whenever you would bring your best animal before the priest to be sacrificed for the sins of your family, you were given the best that you could. But with man having dominion over all the earth, when Jesus came as a man, that was the best sacrifice that you could make. Right? Because man had dominion over everything. And with him being the perfect one, having never sinned, he is without blemish. Oh, what a sacrifice that was. Do you see the sufficiency of Christ's life, death, burial, and resurrection? And then the hope that we get from that. And in this verse, we can clearly see that God values us more than He values the birds. What kind of value He places on us. So why, if He can take care of the birds, why would He not take care of us? He moves on here in verse 27. "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life?" So the question is, has worry without action ever helped? Have you sat there and just worried about something so much for so long that it just fixed itself? I mean, if you're sick, if you're worried about your health in some way, don't we have to get up and go to the doctor? Don't we have to get up and do some stretches and some sort of exercise in order to overcome that area in our life? And what he's saying is that if we can sit around and worry about it, it does nothing. It does no good. It doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't add a single hour to the span of life. So why worry? He moves on here in verse 30. "But if God so clothed the grass of the field..." And let me back up here real quick, because this just spoke to me when I was reading it again. He talks about even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these, talking about the wildfires in the field. Now, I don't know about you, but I enjoy getting by myself. I haven't done it in a while. I need to. This is a good reminder that I just love to take a long walk into a field and find something that I've never seen before. And it's so far off the beaten path that you think, why would God put something so amazing all the way back here? So why wouldn't He plant it over here where everybody's at so that everybody could see this beauty? And I think for a moment, and I'm reminded, He did it for me at this moment to show that God is everywhere all the time. And when you see something beautiful like that, or if you can drive down the road and you see this hillside with wildfires in it, you begin to think, wow, and you get a picture in your mind, right? And then you go to the Photoshop and you see these prints and everything you can buy, and they try to paint that very thing. It's nothing like what God can do, is it? Not even Solomon, which was the most prosperous king. All of the gold and all the splendor that was given to him because of his great wisdom, they catered and they showered Solomon with everything. And he's saying not even Solomon could look. It's almost like a painting of that wildfires. And he's saying nothing can compare to what God will actually do for you. So he goes on in verse 30. He says, "But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe ye?" Will be... need to grasp is this: today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. As beautiful as those flowers are, they're actually just kindling. That they would pull this grass up and they would let it set overnight so that they would have kindling to get their fire started the next day. It's just grass. And what we're to learn from here is that the things of this life that we treasure to, that we hold on to, that are hopefully second to God, our homes, our cars, our jobs, our 401ks, our boats and different things, all of these things that we treasure and hold on to and maintain in this life will all pass away. You've never seen a U-Haul hooked to a hearse. You don't take anything with you. When you die, all these things that we accumulate, that we invest in, they all falls away. But our relationship with God continues for an eternity. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm not trying to put anybody to sleep already. In verse 32, he continues here, "For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." An all-knowing God. He knows everything. In fact, He knows you better than you know yourself. This is the God that knows what you need. This is Jesus is explaining to us, I know what you need. Don't think that I'm not going to take care of you. Don't think I'm not going to do what it is that you need, because I know it the best. So just like He always does, there's always an answer. God always provides His Word. He gives us this illustration of life as we go through it. We're going to worry about things, and we shouldn't worry. He's telling us real clearly. He's commanding, as we said, do not be anxious about your life. And He's given us these illustrations of things that we may actually worry about. And He's explaining to you why it's insignificant to worry about these things, because God always takes care of you. So what do you do? What's the answer? How are we to stop worrying about things? In verse 33, He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." As I told the kids on Friday night, that as you walk through life and you have worries and fears, that they become a heavy weight for you. And we're dragging that along with us. We need to let that go. And whenever you're scared, as a kid, what happens when a child is scared? They run to an adult, especially one that they know. They go to mom, they go to dad, right? They want that comfort. We have a heavenly Father that whenever things get tough, when things are beat us down, when we're dragging along the worries of life, the hope and the healing comes from our knowledge of who God is. It's a simple answer, isn't it? But when I was in the Army, I remember in basic training when the drill instructors were just yelling, and you had no idea what to expect, no idea what was coming up next. You had no clue of when this was actually going to end. I remember thinking, my dad did this. Right now, I can think of him and know that he taught me, as someone who has experienced this, he has taught me as a child, I'm now prepared for this. I'm thinking of my dad. That was one of the helps that I got to get through basic training. But what about getting through all of life? Who better to trust in than the one that created it all? Who better to think of? He says, seek the kingdom. Your heavenly Father knows what you need then. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Think of God. That's why David says in Psalm, hide your word in my heart, O Lord, so that I will not sin against you. We think of our heavenly Father when we worry. When we don't know what to do. Think of the lessons you've learned. Think of these fine sermons that I give you on Sunday mornings. Think of what you've studied on your own in the Scriptures. Finding the hope. Find the security. Finding the promises that God's giving us. He's saying, fear not. Don't be anxious about life. Look at what your Father's doing for the most insignificant things in this world. You value more to Him than all these other things in this world. So why are you worried? But when you do, because we all do, it's natural. When we find ourselves worrying, think of God. And he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We see clearly that God has a plan and that he wants us to enjoy the life that he's given us. To be able to rest easy knowing that he is in control of all things. Let me leave you with one last thing that just popped to mind here. He says in Matthew 11, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a promise. This is the God that we should be thinking of in our most perilous times. And even when we're really not sure of what to do. It could be the smallest of things to the biggest of things. But our God already knows. And he knows perfectly what we need. May we rest and trust in his goodness. Anxiety just distracts us from our truest and hope in God. It diminishes our faith in God when we do not trust in him fully in his goodness. May we rest fully in our great God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you because you are that God. You have promised. You have given us so much. We have proven that you are trustworthy in all ways. So we ask and pray, Heavenly Father, that as we go through life, as we struggle, as we worry, maybe we be reminded that you got this. Don't just hang on. Don't just scratch by. But Lord, may we truly rest in knowing that you are all sufficient and that you are at work on behalf of your children. So Heavenly Father, may we put aside our distractions. May we put aside our worries. And may we rest in your promises of your protection and of your providence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.